anointed, will you preach with us? Good, good. Praise God. How about you all? Musicians? Musicians? Good. Praise God. Praise God. You ever done anything silly? None of you. Well, you won't get this. This I just gotta show you, it's too funny. Lift this up, and I hold this guitar case, this Marta's guitar. I'd play it, but we've got church to go. I was looking at this. It's crazy what goes in our mind when we're up here. And I thought, man, they're making those stools with little bitty seats on those things. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be real comfortable. I'm just telling you what you've got for a pastor. If that don't worry you, that ought to bring you to your knees in prayer for me. I love the Word of God. And I love the bearer of the Word of God. Amen? Pastor Emily's coming to preach to us this evening. God's given her a word. And I want you to raise your hand right now and say, God, give me everything you have through this woman of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
All right. Good evening. Again. Yeah, I always feel like it's a little funny. I'm double mic'd, you know, while I'm leading worship and then I've got this. I just really want you guys to hear me. But no. Anyway, thank you, Pastor Sam, for giving me this opportunity. I still sometimes am like, what a direction the Lord is taking my life in. Do you ever have those thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, we'll move on from that. That's for another message another time. So tonight's word, the Lord gave me just some few things to share with you. It's for those who feel they keep falling short in their walk with God. It's for those who believe they're just never really going to have it together. It's for those who have a relative who really seem beyond the reach of their Savior. And it's for those who continue to live in the past of sins forgiven. Essentially, I'm talking to the dismayed tonight, and I'm talking to the discouraged. And I think we all can relate, and probably aspects of all of our lives are in that place. Because I bet we all have loved ones. I shouldn't say I bet, probably. But I would venture to say we all have loved ones that need the Lord, that our heart is aching for them. And I bet we all have times that we just think, man, am I ever going to get my act together and really do what I need to do to serve the Lord? Or maybe you just don't feel like you're doing enough, you know? And so tonight's word is a word of encouragement, and I'm glad I get to give a word of encouragement. But it may not be in the same way as what we think of the word of encouragement is, where we get all excited and hallelujahs and woo, yeah, like I'm ready to go. You know, it may not be in that same sense, but it might hit you the same way it hit me, and understanding just how awesome our Savior is. So we're going to be in kind of all over the place, Lonnie. I love you. Thank you, ma'am, for helping. But we're going to be in the book of Lamentations to begin with. And I'll just give a little backstory. It's written by Jeremiah. And it's five poems or songs that are mourning the conquering of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians. And if you read it, it's really sad. It is not a, this is a great read. This is so exciting. And no, it's really, it's lamenting what they have been through. I mean, it's really sad. And so if you go to Jeremiah 52 right before that, and actually we'll go there briefly, 52 verse 1, I'll just give you kind of the backstory a little bit of it. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamathul, and daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like all that Jehoiakim had done, For through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah until he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came about in the ninth year of his reign, on the tenth day in the of the tenth month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, camped against it and built a siege wall all around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year, so it started the ninth year, till the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went and keep going. Okay, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So just a brief synopsis. So Jerusalem, if you can kind of just imagine with me, all these people fled to Jerusalem to find protection. But what happened was there were so many people, there wasn't enough food. So there was this famine, and then all this disease broke out. And then there's just all the, you know, you have like the open sewer situation, and it was bad. And they're all just within these walls. And so, and then once that finally happened, then they were finally taken over. And so not, it wasn't just one of these, oh, here the Babylonians come and were destroyed. It was years of famine and disease and death. And it was just a bad time. It was a bad time for the city of Jerusalem and kingdom of Judah. So we read Jeremiah back in Lamentations. We're reading this, and it's like, wow, okay, well, it says in verse 5, her adversaries have become her masters, her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away. So it's because of sin, right? It's sin in their lives, and they turned away from the Lord, and they weren't doing right by God. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of Lamentations, chapter 3, I hear you guys all flipping through your pages. Come with me. I'll describe. Verse 19. All of a sudden, Jeremiah, it's like the Holy Spirit is kind of, hey, buddy, hang on. I'm with you. Remembering my affliction. And in fact, we'll go back. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind. It's like he's remembering. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And you can continue to read there, and there's a little bit more hope, and then it goes back to, like, not so good stuff again. But he's the God, the same God, in the midst of all that ugliness. Amen? And the emphasis for me in this text and what the Lord has kind of been showing me is his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. Every morning. I heard this idea described. If your heart is set to follow God and walk in obedience to him, but you find yourself falling short, well, this verse is definitely for you. Because of God's never-ending love for us, his mercy also never ends. And guess what? This is what I just think is amazing. God knew that we needed never-ending mercy. He knew that. In his infinite wisdom, he knew his children lived in a sinful world, fighting their man, their flesh, all the junk around. And we needed that renewing kind of mercy on a daily basis in our lives. However, this is, let's just be clear, it's not a license to sin, right? Just be like, well, praise God, here I go. You know, and you're living one way at church, and I love the Lord, and not the other way outside of church. I'm not saying that. Please understand. And that's not what the Lord intends either. But if your heart is to serve him, to obey him, to live according to his plan, if not, guess what? Now's the time you better do that. Now's the best time to do that, to get right with him and to surrender your life to him. Because the Holy Spirit kept revealing to me that while this is an encouraging word to hear, his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness, and those are great things to hear, we also must remember that he is God Almighty. It's really about knowing and understanding him more. In Romans, you can flip with me if you want. Romans 9, 15, and 16. This is Paul writing, and he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Let's look at that last part again. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. In other words, God's mercy is not given to us because of what we wish to do, the man who wills, right? Or because of what we actually do, the man who runs. But his mercy is given to us simply because of his desire to show us mercy. We need to understand that his mercy is not given to us out of obligation. If it was, then it really isn't mercy. It's not mercy. You see, we're completely and totally undeserving of his mercy that he extends to us every day. Yet he does this so lovingly because of his compassion on us, for us as his people, and also because we have a plan and a reason to be here as his people. Amen? If we didn't have a plan, if we didn't have a purpose, if the people of Judah didn't have a plan and have a purpose, then they would have all been destroyed. We would be destroyed. I don't know about you, I've made some stupid choices in my life. Oh, Lord, help my kids. Please, Lord, don't make those same mistakes I did. Have you ever prayed that as a parent? But man, I've put myself in some really dumb scenarios that my life could have been taken really easily. Or ruined. Or, let's face it, just driving along the highway now. So we have a plan, and we have a purpose to be here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You know, and I can stand up here, and let's name off some of these things that we know because we live here. We know and understand how having a relationship with our God and with our Savior of why this mercy is needed, and plus his word tells us. So when he extends his mercy to us, then we extend mercy to others, right? To have mercy on the lost soul. To have mercy on those that are hurting. And when our Savior extends mercy to me, then it corrects me and gets me back on track. Amen? When he extends mercy to me, then I draw even closer to him because I see his great love for me. When he extends his mercy to me, then my eyes are open to how glorious his ways are. And as I was typing that out and I was saying that, and I'm like, oh, Lord, yeah, these are all these things, that it was like I had almost this Job experience, that I realized that even as I was saying these things and I know them to be true, I was just so humbled to realize that God is so much greater than I can even comprehend. I mean, I'm trying to describe it. But he is God Almighty, and he is the everlasting one who in his omniscience knows when I need his mercy and when you need his mercy. He gave me this phrase, it's mercy right on time. Mercy right on time. And we must understand, like Paul is trying to tell us, though, that he gets to choose whom he shows mercy and when he shows that mercy. May we never think that he is obligated to extend his mercy. How conceited and foolish of us. He's not obligated to do anything other than the things he obligates himself to do. Perhaps instead, as his children, our posture should be of worshiping him. Forever even extending his mercy once, let alone every day, to us. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. This is about us, and it's also about the people that were scattered of Judah. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his glorious light. Once you were not a people, but you are now the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God extended his mercy to the remnant of the Israelites that Jeremiah is talking about, but he most graciously extends it to us. After all, the people had a plan. They had a purpose. The people of Judah, the Messiah had to come from this line, this descendant. He was born from them. And now we've been grafted into that nation. And he certainly has a plan and purpose for my life, that I may declare the praises of him who called me out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I knew tonight was going to be tough because sometimes the word that he gives me, it just feels so personal. If you are his child, you are called to be more than your mistakes, more than your yesterdays. It's humbling ourselves as his servant, as his vessels who get to be used by God, who get to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What an amazing thing that he speaks to us and who is called according to his purpose. Oh, man. Sorry, gang. Going back to Lamentations 3:23, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies, again, are not out of obligation. And in Romans chapter 11, I got to turn there. I forgot to get there. Verse 33. And I'm going to go through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Go on, 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The idea of his mercies being extended to us every day is very exciting. It's wonderful. It's the way he designed it. But on the other side, that just has humbled me so much is that it's his choosing. He chooses when and whom. And yet we get to be part of his plan in all that too. And I really think that that's it for me tonight. But I do feel like if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, maybe you've kind of walking away from him, I think that we need to express that invitation tonight. Maybe you find yourself kind of living in that lukewarm state. We don't want to live in that state. That's going backwards, not forwards with Christ. And then lastly, so this is for everyone. I believe we need to understand our Lord in an even deeper way. And I don't know if I conveyed that to you tonight at all. I hope I did. I hope the Holy Spirit did. But I just feel the need to worship our Savior for knowing through his infinite wisdom that we would need his continual mercy and as he graciously gives it to you and me. I mean, really, what an amazing God that we get to serve. Why don't you go to that third song, Ray?